Michael Reid on LMFM.
It's 8 months now since the Geerin report into the ongoing drug problem in Drogheda and the surrounding areas was published back in January. It's over 6 weeks since the implementation on how that report would be would happen since that report was published itself. And what's happened? Well, not an awful lot, but progress is beginning to be felt, or at least that's what we're being told, or that's what we were being told by local TD Fergus O'Dowd on the programme yesterday.
Well, the promise is actually 150,000 to the Red Door, and that's number one, and that is top priority.
But they got 60,000. 9.5 months after the report, they got 60,000.
I accept that, Michael.
And the Family Addiction Service have nothing.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you at all. I fully support the Red Door, and I have fully supported them. And while everything is not perfect, Michael, the fact is that a significant investment will be made in the Red Door, and it's part and parcel of the accountability of the Geerin report. And the second point is that they're committed to having reports every 6 months. So all of the queries in relation to the Red Door will have to be put in the public domain. So there's no escape from the commitment.
Okay, that's Fergus O'Dowd speaking to us on the programme yesterday. Progress is slow, it has to be said. Two people have been appointed to oversee this, and as we were hearing yesterday, a full-time coordinator is about to be employed, but little has been done in terms of providing the funding that was promised in the Geerin recommendations to the groups that are working on the front line with those who are dealing with addiction problems. Let's talk to Louise Mahoney, who's manager with the Red Door Project, and Jackie McKenna, who's the project manager with the Family Addiction Support Network. Good morning to both of you, and thank you indeed for joining us. As we heard yesterday, and indeed as we heard some 6 weeks ago from the Minister, the government managed to raise some money from dormant funds, which provided 60,000, I think, to the Red Door Project. I'm sure that was welcome money, Louise, but it falls short of the funding on a permanent footing that is recommended in this report to you.
Yeah, actually, we're in a sort of a good position at the moment in that we are expecting some. We're at the very end process of getting some money. Finally, so things are good. We actually haven't received money as yet, but it's in the post, if you like. So we're just literally getting the last step over the line.
That's the 60,000, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, that's a surprise because I think the minister some 6 weeks ago was very happy to tell us that you had received 60,000 and that
that
150,000 extra a year would be made available to you.
Well, that's the hope. Now we haven't, but we're sort of just about signing the dotted line, if you like, for. I'm not even 100% sure exactly what it is. It's not 150, I'll tell you that. But we're going in the right direction. And I'm so relieved that we are going in somewhat the right direction that I'm nearly afraid to scupper it. Because, as you said, like, this has been a hugely under-resourced area for a long, long, long time. 150 is brilliant. It's not going to cut the mustard at all. But we'll take anything we're given at this stage. But I suppose it's very important to say that, like, there's a lot of work that we need to do retrospectively as well. There's been big, massive gaps in the services in Louth for a very long time, and there's been a lot of under resourcing across the board. So I'm just going to speak to the addiction part, and we need to put people into place very, very quickly and start working on the ground very quickly in order to sort of just even plug the gaps a little bit, you know. So we're waiting with bated breath to get the money, but we are getting it. I have to say, the Department of Justice, it's the first time I've ever dealt with the Department of Justice, and I have to say it's been a very positive experience in that their communication is good. They come back to you in a timely fashion. They seem to actually understand where we're trying to move things and are happy to do it. Now, obviously, 150 is a tiny amount and we haven't received it yet, but it's going the right way. That's all I can say at the moment.
Okay. I sense you're being pragmatic.
I am. I am being pragmatic, but at the same time, it's true. Like,
we are.
It's the first time in a long time I'm having a conversation with anyone about money, put it like that.
That's very good. No, and that is very good. It's a little bit different, though, than the conversation we had with Heather Humphreys, who's the Minister for Justice, who, if I remember correctly, had told us that 60,000 had been made available to yourselves.
Yeah, six weeks ago. I know, because I didn't know where you got that number. See, I was on holidays, and then I realised that, we haven't received that money yet. Okay. But it is definitely in the post, and she was probably thought we had received it.
Okay. All right. Let's talk to Jackie McKenna, who's project manager with the Family Addiction Support Network. It was recommended that your service would be funded. I see Vivian Guerin, who wrote the original report 8 months ago, has told the Irish Examiner that he's very disappointed that you've received nothing.
Yeah. Good morning, and thanks a million, Michael, for giving us the opportunity to highlight the plight of community-based drug and family support projects in the region, and indeed across all of Ireland. They are totally under-resourced and overworked. Good morning, Louise, and best of luck, and well done. I really hope that it works out well for you.
I think your service is absolutely amazing, and I'm just so disappointed that you haven't been supported in the way you should be. I can't believe the way things are.
Don't think anyone can believe it. That's why I got really frustrated listening to the show and hearing all about the implementation plan and the great plans that's for funding and all of the rest. When demands have increased, on services, including our own, we're a growing number of people looking for support all around the region because, say, for instance, the Drogheda Family Support Group has increased in size. There's a growing number of people that's looking for support and also in the Cavan area. And it's the expansion of those peer-led family support groups that's happening. People looking for support, looking for help. Also, the counselling and the five-step brief interventions have also taken off big time in the Drogheda area, provided by Fossen and in Cavan area as well. So everywhere across the region where we have peer-led family support groups, there is little shoots that's needed and that's going to grow everywhere. So funding for projects like this is going to be essential for families to be supported. So last Friday, I received an email from the HSE stating that there was no additional funding for FOSN, even though we've had meetings with them in March and April with a commitment to get part funding. Okay, and a full commitment to accessing 100% of this funding. To keep delivering the services that have been delivered over not one county, four counties. Mm. And that total is 138,000. Family Support Network for Vietnam funding to secure the future of the family support work. And I understand that the government and the HSE, have the hardest uphill struggle they have ever faced due to COVID and everything. And unfortunately, FOSN over the last 2 years have ended up at the bottom of an ever-growing priority list. So, it was our plight over the last couple of years in particular has been documented in the Irish Examiner last Saturday. We felt it necessary to bring it to light after believing that funding was approved and to receive the following email when inquiring about the status of our funding situation. We do not have any additional funding at this stage and cannot give you any update.
What's your future under that circumstance? What's your future?
Our future is that we're going to have to close our doors unless we get funding. It makes this project unsustainable, and our fundraising efforts that was keeping us going to pay overheads and do extra things that we needed to do has been wiped out. if Fossil collapses and we must go, well, I want to know, where will family members go for help? You know, because services like Louise's, providing services, limited services for family members, are overrun, underpaid, and can't do it. Agencies that we work with were stunned.
Yeah, we rely very heavily on the Family Support Network, and Michael, like we work with overseas, and mostly it's people who are, you know, in addiction, and we try our best to support the families as best we can, but we need to be able to, you know, move them on to work with a very specific expertise, and you know, we can do a little bit of that, but this is Jackie's, that's their expertise, and that's what we need that level of support. We have an Andrada. Like, we've always referred on to Fasten, and if they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just one person. It's the whole family. It's the community. It's society. You cannot take one individual, support that person, try and support them to change. And then they're moving back and they're around a family who need to support to change and support that person. It's a very, very intricate piece. It's very complex.
Yeah.
You know, and I always felt it's the whole family, and it's the whole community, you know, and you have to try and reduce harm to that whole system. And that's
absolutely
where Jackie's people come in.
Absolutely.
Like, and it's a hand-in-hand approach. And this is where we've got big, huge gaps. We don't have a contingency. We don't have a progression. And there is your problem straight away.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about a system like Fasten, who is long established, who knows how to move forward, how to work. And, you know, and this is where they're at.
Yeah.
Begging for money. Begging for money.
Yeah. Well,
sorry, Louise, I just want to get in there.
The money was promised, but anyway. Yeah.
Oh, sure. This is it.
I want to get in there and say that if this, if Fasten collapses, right, we have been handing the government a very cost-effective model of working with families on the plate across four counties. If this collapses, the government will then have to start from scratch, as Louise said, and fill that gap.
Because your service, as you've been providing it, could continue to some extent with the voluntary aspect of it. But what was needed was to bolster it. And what this stemmed from was the sheer despair that all of the people living in this community, and I mean that in a regional sense, had felt as a result of the situation that had come about because of this ongoing problem with drugs, not just the killings or the mutilations or the houses being set on fire or any of that stuff, but the lost lives and the lost opportunities and the people walking
broken
down our streets like corpses and broken families and all of that sort of stuff. People said enough is enough, and it got to a point then where people said to their local representatives, it has to stop, it has to change. And I have a feeling, and I hope I am wrong, but I have the suspicion that there's a lot of plumossing going on and a lot of appeasing by being seen to do something when nothing really is happening. Because this report was published and it said all of the right things, and there was great hope and expectation as a result of it. But what did happen after that? Very little. 7 months after the report was published, an implementation report was published, but no money came with it. €100,000 out of dormant funds, which meant that there was no ongoing funding. That was a one-off amount that was available to implementing this project. But there was no new services to speak of. In fact, we're hearing now that your services are not going to be funded. There's a lot of aspiration. They were talking about engaging with this, exploring that, evaluating this, reviewing other things, but nothing tangible that would say to people, this is the beginning of the end. There was nothing that would say to you, they're going to get onto the streets, they're going to get into the young people's heads, they're going to find out what the young people are thinking, they're going to relate to that, and they're going to find out what would make them change the direction that so many young people have been taking at this stage.
That's right. And Michael, that's the other thing, right? That's what frustrates me even further, is that conversation with public representatives and agencies always seem to revolve around young people and drug gangs. Families are rarely acknowledged or supported as people needing access to support or services to help heal that trauma of living and coping with drug addiction. Families seem to be invisible. And in 2019, we Fasten commissioned a research report and that shows the harm caused to families living with a loved one's addiction. Worry and psychological stress leading to health. Exposure to threats and violence associated with drug deaths. The financial of directly or indirectly supporting drug use. The strain on family relationships. The violence. Isolation within the community. And the loss of social life and the judgments within communities and services. Put ourselves into any one of those situations. You can imagine the chaos that you'd be living with. And as well as that, each and every one of us are now parenting in the drug age, in the drug culture. It is not going away. We need to put it on everybody's lips out there because that's what we're all living in. And we need to break down that that's attached to drug users and their families.
The person who's been given the job to implement this is a man called Michael Keogh, apparently. I don't know anything about Michael Keogh. I couldn't say anything good or bad about him. I'm told he was born in Drogheda, which apparently is a great advantage, that he was a civil servant, which I don't know what a bearing that has or what understanding that gives that somebody of that. But what worries me most is that we don't know anything about him. Where is he? Why hasn't he been speaking? This is such a big, huge issue to all of the people listening to us today who have never heard from Michael Keogh, certainly not on this programme, and I don't know if he's spoken publicly anywhere since he was given this role as chair of the Implementation Board. Should there not be an effort by this person to reach out to the community? Because this is something that is happening before people start taking drugs.
Absolutely, and I think that relationship should be out there with the community and voluntary sector in particular, because as far as I can see, that there is no community or voluntary representative representing either of the two main implementation bodies. And we really need to be engaging with each other, and we need, the community and voluntary sector need to be listened to and represented on the decision-making boards. So not either of those two top bodies, I think the Drogheda Safety and Wellbeing and then the other one is Implementation Board, I think. The only time that the community and voluntary sector comes into it is in the subgroups where they're asked for information, but they're not on the decision-making bodies.
And those groups haven't been established yet.
Yeah.
This is still rambling or rumbling along. How much money is needed? I mean, we're 8 months after the report, which I can't remember exactly when Kim Marie Woods was...
January, I think.
Was it? Yeah.
So, yeah, it's early January. I'd hope things are rumbling along. And I mean, things always take a long, long time. I'm not making excuses. I'm not being pragmatic. That's how it works. I'm in this area a long time. Michael, Jackie, you both know. Things take a lot of time. Especially when you've got, I don't know how many different departments are now deciding who's taken what, probably arguing over who's taken what going forward, especially if they're going to nail a particular amount of money year on year to the mass. But I just think I am being pragmatic, because I really feel this is the first time in a very long time the eye is on Drogheda. Okay, the implementation plan, I thought it was brilliant and I was very excited. And then I kind of thought, okay, look, well, let's see. And okay, things aren't moving as fast as I'd like or anything like it.
Talk is cheap and there's no money with this.
No, exactly. Yeah. But we are putting three people in position in the next few weeks. And that's brilliant for us. That's the first time.
As long as you have the funding to employ them.
Yeah, exactly. And you see, this is two of them are only very short time funded just to get it. But exactly that. But look, I mean to make a really good shot at proving that this is, you know, the way we're going to go and push it forward as best we can. Because I felt almost buckled under how things have been for the last while. And I have to take the positivity out of this. Now, Jackie is in a very, very different position.
Very different.
Really different. And I'm so destroyed the fashion they're going through this, because they are a fantastic service. We really need them. We really need them at the table. But I think we need to make absolutely sure that when that implementation, when they get them people around the table, that we are at that table. I am going to make I'm sure I'm at that table.
Okay.
And that the community and voluntary are represented, and that the voice of addiction is at that table loud and clear. And it's not going to be just a statutory. Absolutely no way.
Jackie, sorry. I'm way over time. Jackie,
sorry.
Not at all. It's just the nature of it. Jackie,
yeah.
If I could conclude with yourself, if there is a solution for you in the budget in October, what would that mean in pounds, shillings and pence? How much would you need on an annual basis?
Well, as we've been saying for the last 4 years in meetings with the HSE, we're unsustainable. And year on year, we've been given 7,508. We need 138,000, as we have said at the beginning of the year, to the HSE to continue the level, delivering the level of services that we've been delivering. 138,000, Michael, is a very...
Oh, I think the line dropped out. I'm sorry, but I think we have the point. 138,000.
Yeah. It's a very small amount of money.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It would cost them over 2 million to put in a premises, develop infrastructure within that, training, IT, and building up relationships with family supports and agencies all over the counties.
Yeah.
That takes years to do.
Oh, yeah.
So we are handing them a very cost-effective model that can be replicated anywhere across the country.
Listen.
And again, like that, it's not just in Drogheda. It's right across the northeast. It's right across every county in Ireland.
We all know that, Jackie. All right.
Yeah.
Listen, I have run out of time. I have to leave there. I'm so sorry to cut our conversation short, but we're actually over time. But thank you both, indeed, for joining us this morning. That's Jackie McKenna, who's project manager with the Family Addiction Support Network. We were also talking to Louise Mahoney, who's manager of the Red Door Project.
Michael Reed on LMFM.